no
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Tom.
Extra, extra, hear all about the fatal chain. Tonight's Big Tom story brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, used in the homes of 40 million Americans. Extra, extra.
Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Town, the headline stories of a great city dramatically reported by Steve Wilson, fighting managing editor whose creed, as with all great newsmen, is emblazoned on the masthead of the Illustrated Press.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword. That it may be a faithful servant of all the people, use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Now to Big Town and Steve Wilson's headline story of The Fatal Chain. This is the ironic story of a piece of chain that linked the living to the dead. And it began at the entrance to a bank in the business section of Big Town. Began as the cashier of a large manufacturing company left the bank with a satchel containing the weekly payroll, chained to his wrist and to the wrist of an armed guard.
Wait a minute, guard. Let me make sure the lock on this satchel is set.
Come on, why worry? It's only a block to the plant.
Because I'm responsible for this payroll.
Okay, quit worrying. I'm handcuffed to this dough bag, same as you. And I got a gun to handle anybody with any ideas of taking it away from us.
Yes. By the way, what happened to the regular man your agency always sends over to guard me in this payroll?
Him? Oh, he's off today. He's sick. Come on, let's go.
All right. This trip always makes me nervous.
Sip right up and watch this positively amazing demonstration of the wonder of this age. This magic opener, this wonder worker, this lightning opener of articles of every sort. All right, now step up close, observe closely.
Them sidewalk guys sure work hard to separate the suckers from their dough, huh?
Yeah, they do. But let's get to the plant and watch that alley just ahead.
How come?
I've always felt if I ever got held up, they'd wait in that alley.
Yeah, that'd be a good spot. Come on, let's see how it'll work.
What are you doing?
Come on, shut up or I'll blast you. Down the alley to that car.
What is this? You're not an agency guard. How did you get a badge and credentials?
I took them off the dope you was expecting. Come on, in the alley.
No.
My pals are waiting in that car.
No, you won't.
No, you dope.
Punchy. Why did you have to plug him?
He grabbed at my gun.
All right, get him in the heap. Stell's driving. Let's get out of here.
Steve, you got a minute?
All waiting for you, Lala. Come in and close the door on those infernal teletypes.
The inevitable sign of exasperation. What has not been done, which should have been done, as Harry the Hack would say.
I've been talking to Callahan of Homicide. The mayor and the police commissioner have him on the grill over that payroll job this morning.
Oh, poor Callahan. Overworked and understaffed, and they expect miracles in 8 hours.
Did you get anything new at the bank, the factory, or at headquarters?
No, nothing that leads anywhere, Steve.
What about the regular payroll guard? Is there any chance he was linked to that robbery?
Not a chance, Steve. His record is 100A+, and he's in the hospital with concussion after the fight he put up to keep his badge and credentials.
Yes. What about the cashier?
No dice, Steve. Like Caesar's wife, above reproach. And he left some of his blood in that alley before they got him in the getaway car.
How about the car? Stolen?
Mm-hmm. Abandoned near Water Street. No fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
But, Steve, I've got a hunch a woman was driving that car.
Oh? How come, Lana?
There was fresh face powder on the floor mat under the wheel. I think she got nervous waiting for the payoff and dropped her compact while powdering her nose.
I'll buy that, but it doesn't help much. Any new witnesses?
None who could add anything to the description of the phony guard handcuffed to the cashier in the payroll satchel. Just a big, hard-looking guy.
Yeah, this big town is full of them.
Well, how about your underworld listening post, Steve? Any likely bank or payroll artists on the lam from their usual hangouts?
I've contacted several. Not a thing so far.
You know, it might be an out-of-town mob.
No, I don't think so, Lorelei. They knew their way around.
The private wire, Steve.
Yes, this might be something. Hello, Steve Wilson, Illustrated Press.
Mr. Wilson, this is that too-perfect purveyor of paraphernalia, that handy-dandy dispenser of doodads, the one and only Barky the Bot.
Hello, Barky. Haven't they run you in for selling those phony static eliminators?
I've discontinued that line, Mr. Wilson. The maker of that little item was a fraud. After exhaustive tests, I found it inferior to my expectation and that of my customers.
Well, what are you hawking now, Barky?
Oh, a handy little dandy, Mr. Wilson. A magic can opener that'll open anything. I will even venture to say it would open a bank vault or a payroll satchel.
Payroll satchel?
Positively, Mr. Wilson. And I have a super deluxe model available only to you at a rock-bottom price in return for past favors. And if you'll hurry, 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 it'll be available to you for the asking absolutely free.
Thanks. Where are you, Barky?
In exactly 15 minutes, a quarter of an hour, I will have set up for business on the northwest corner of 5th and South. Now hurry if you want one of my magic mystery openers with complete instruction inside the box. Hurry.
Thanks, Barky. I'll pick it up in 15 minutes.
You got a lead, Steve?
Yes, Lorelei, get your alleged hat. We're going to buy a magic can opener that may break this case.
Thus, Steve Wilson, through one of his tipsters on the fringe of the so-called underworld, is given a lead promising exciting developments. Doctors have proved it. Life Boy Health Soap in your daily bath gets skin cleaner than any other leading soap can.
Did you say cleaner?
That's right. Here's what the doctors now know. After comparing the effects of daily baths with different soaps, they made this amazing statement.
Actually, you are cleaner, safer from B.O. when you bathe daily with Life Boy than when you bathe with any other leading soap.
How does Life Boy do it?
Well, here's the secret. Life Boy does more than just remove the grime and perspiration you can see. Life Boy is more effective than any other leading soap in removing the invisible dirt that may form a foothold for B.O. Life Boy gets you even cleaner than the eye can see.
Cleaner than the eye can see.
Yes, after 820 scientific tests, doctors say that Life Boy's purifying ingredient makes the difference. And this same purifying ingredient actually makes Life Boy milder. Safe even for a baby's tender skin. So enjoy a Life Boy bath every day. You love the creamy, rich lather, the wonderful mildness. Get Life Boy tomorrow. Now, back to Big Town and to Steve Wilson of the Illustrated Press as he moves in to crack the riddle of tonight's headline story of The Fatal Train. Following up a tip on a sensational payroll robbery phoned in by one of his many underworld listening posts, Steve and Lorelei Kilborn, one of his ace crime reporters, are on the way to a street corner rendezvous in the car of Harry the Loquacious Hacky.
Say, boss.
Say it, Harry, but get us to the corner of 5th and West as quickly as the law allows.
Oh, we are practically there, Mr. Wilson. And while I am wondering if this may not be one of those contingencies in which me and my upholstered monkey wrench may not be of assistance.
Thanks, Harry, but we're just meeting a tipster who may have a lead on the goons who pulled that payroll robbery this morning.
Whom is indulgent in the precarious preoccupation of squealing on a group of characters who have already bumped off one guy to get 50 grand in extremely expendable lettuce?
The one and only Barky the Bark, Harry.
Holy moly, Miss Kilburn, that pitcher's sure taking a chance.
He's playing it cagey, Harry. He's making a pitch. Selling me a can opener with the tip inside the box.
Well, even so, boss, how come he is taking such a chance squawking on the rub-out boys?
Well, I helped him out of a jam once, Harry. He's not doing it for a reward.
5th and West coming up, boss. You want for me to pull up right at the northwest corner?
Oh, stop short of the corner, Harry.
Well, there's Barky, Steve. He's got his stand set up and he started his pitch.
Good. And he's rounded up enough of a crowd to cover our little transaction without exciting suspicion.
You want me to come along and buy a can opener, Steve?
No, Lorelei. Stay in the hack with Harry and keep out of sight. I'll go join the suckers and buy one as soon as Barkley winds up his pitch. Now.
I'm about to demonstrate this here miracle of inventive ingenuity, this masterpiece of mechanical magic, this housekeeper's handy little helper. Oh, step right up, sir. You're just in time to witness the wizardry of an absolutely new and sensational way of opening cans. All kinds of cans. Observe closely now. A mere flick of the wrist and presto, bingo, zingo, and the job is done. Now, for the surprise I promised you folks, the price of this little giant is not $5, not even $1, but a quarter of a dollar. 2 bits.
I'll take one.
Ah, a considerate family man who thinks of the little woman.
Thanks. I'm a bachelor, but I can use one just the same. Here's your quarter.
Ah, thank you, sir. Thank you. And for the best results, read the instructions inside each and every box.
Well, thanks until you're better paid. I'll do that.
All right, now who else? Step right up, folks. Come on, get your handy dandy magic open. I don't want to play ball, friend. I'll pull them all over the dollar.
Did you get it, Steve?
We'll see in a moment. Wait till I get this box open.
Did he pass any weight, boss?
No, Harry. It should be here inside the box.
Well, there's a slip of paper. What's it say?
I saw the stick-up and followed the pitch to the payoff, Mr. Wilson. There's three working the caper, two guys and a dame. They're holed up in the basement of 17 West.
Steve, that's in the next block toward the river.
Yes, and I think I'd better make sure they're still roosting, Lorna.
Steve Wilson, you're not going to go barging in there alone.
No, I'll just scout the place while you phone Callahan.
I can phone from that drugstore right over there.
Good. Tell him the tip may be cold by now. The buzzards may have flown. But he'd better bring his homicide squad and tear gas in case he has to blast them out.
How about me, boss?
Drive into the alley, Harry, and watch the back of 17.
It'll be a pleasure.
But if they break that way before homicide gets here, don't try to stop them. Your trusty monkey wrench is no match for hot lead.
The same goes for you, Steve Wilson.
I'll be careful, Lorelei, but before there's a showdown, I want to know if that cashier who was chained to the payroll satchel and the phony guard is dead or alive. Let's go.
Come on, Rick. Never mind cutting open that satchel and get at that dope. Find something to get me loose from this dope.
You're the dope for plugging him.
Well, he grabbed my gun.
Why didn't you just slug him? Now you've mixed me and Stella up in a murder if the guy dies.
Can't we get a doc for him, Rick? All I could do was stop the bleeding. He looks almost dead.
Yeah, so get something to cut this chain. I ain't gonna like being chained to no dead guy. Get this cuff over my wrist and get this chain cut, do you hear?
Shut up. Hey. Now get hold, you big slob. This is your fault letting him throw the key to the cuffs away.
Oh, that dope you cased this caper. You ought to find out this guy never had no key to the cuffs on him. You'd have figured that if you had been as smart as you think you are. You'd had a chisel or a hacksaw ready here in this crummy joint.
All right, so I missed a
so
bet.
So you missed a bet.
Shut up and quit blowing your top.
Rick, we got to do something about this cashier guy. He ain't hardly breathing and I can't feel no pulse. He looks dead.
Never mind him.
But Rick, if he dies, they'll be after us for murder. You said there wouldn't be any gun stuff. I wouldn't have drove the car if I'd known there was going to be any killing.
Cut it out, Stell. You were in for whatever had to be done and you're going to be in for whatever's got to be done from here on.
Get assured if that guy dies, they'll never lay off.
They ain't going to lay off no matter what happens. So we got to get set to travel tonight, and I mean far and fast.
We won't get no place with me chained to a dead guy. Get something. Get me loose from this guy.
Shut up, Punchy. That's what we're going to do. They'll get out of here. Go find a hardware store and buy a hacksaw.
What if I'm spotted, picked up?
Nobody saw you. Nobody's got a description of you. Now get going.
All right, Rick. But see if you can't do something for that guy. I ain't never been mixed up in no murder.
Well, you're mixed up now, baby. And listen careful before you get out of here.
I'm like, well, Rick, you're hurting my arm.
That's just a sample, baby. You try taking a powder on us, and I'll find you and wring your pretty neck. Now get out of here. Get a hacksaw and get back here, but quick.
Is that you?
Yes, Lorna. I stepped in this doorway.
Any sign of activity in the basement of number 17?
I can't tell from here. The shades are drawn, but there's a light. Did you get to Inspector Callahan?
I had to leave a message. He's on the DA's carpet, but they'll get to him as quickly as possible.
Good. If the DA would stick to prosecutions and leave Callahan alone to do his job, we'd have better results in Big Town.
Yes, and I hope this isn't a dead-end tip.
Well, Barkey wouldn't take the chance of gangland revenge to give us a bum steer on a thing like this.
And I don't think anybody will suspect Barkey gave you the tip. And I, for one...
Watch it, Laurel. Huh? I'm a lovely step back in the shadows. Someone just came out of the basement door of number 17.
Golly, Steve. It's a girl.
Yes. And we know from Barkey a girl was driving the getaway car, which confirmed your hunch about the spilled face powder.
She seems to be looking around to see if the house is being watched.
Yeah. Let's wait and see what she does.
She's coming this way.
I'll keep back in the shadows. Let her pass.
Here she comes. Golly, you could almost have reached out and grabbed her. Why didn't you, Steve?
Well, it might have upset the apple cart and given the others a chance to get away before Callahan gets here, Laura.
But what about that girl? She's heading for the avenue.
Follow her, Laura. I see where she goes and what she does.
Okay, Steve, are you going to wait here for Callahan?
Oh, this looks like the rats may be getting ready to scatter. I'm going to get into that building and find out what's happened to the cashier before Homicide closes in.
Please don't go in there alone, Steve. It's too risky. There's at least two of them, maybe more, armed.
Be careful, my lovely.
Well, at least find Harry and go in the back way.
No, now, don't worry. I'll get Harry if I need him. Now get going. The girl is almost to the corner, Laurel. I don't lose her. She may be the key to this whole deadly setup. Now on your way.
What's keeping that dame, Rick? Why ain't she back here with that hacksaw? What's keeping her?
Take it easy, Punchy. She ain't been gone but a couple of minutes.
Maybe she ain't coming back. She's scared of being mixed in a murder. Rick, maybe she ain't coming back.
She'll come back because she knows I'll find her and slit her throat with this shiv. If she don't.
Put away that knife, Rick. What's the big idea?
Relax, Punchy. Just gonna slash his satchel open and get a look at the dough while we're waiting.
Well, lay off. That dough will keep it. We can divvy it up. If you gotta do something, find a hammer and chisel and cut this chain. That guy's dead. It's giving me the willies being chained to a dead guy.
Unwind, will you, Punchy? What's the diff if he's dead?
It makes plenty of diff to me.
Stay in the chair, Punchy. You ain't going anywhere. Even if I was to let you, you couldn't go nowhere unless you carried that stiff with you. I got a picture of you getting out of town carrying a dead guy. How would you make it? Take a bus?
Save the gags, Rick. It ain't funny. And I'm getting a sneaking notion that you don't care if I ever get loose from this guy or not.
What's giving you that notion, Punchy?
You ain't half tried to get me loose.
Well, that's a tough chain, Punchy. I can't cut it with this knife. Of course, if you're in a real hurry to get loose, I could maybe get that cuff off your wrist, but you might not have any hand to speak of.
Cut it out, Rick. Lay off. Quit needling me. Put away that knife and think of something to get me
loose. All right, just sit back and relax till Stell gets here with a hacksaw.
I got a feeling she ain't coming back. I got a real notion she ain't ever coming back.
And I tell you, she'll be back. She'll be back because she wants her share of this payroll. Here, have a button, relax while I slice this satchel open and see how much we got to split.
Nah, I'd rather have a drink.
Well, there ain't no drink. Here. Now, puff up and take it easy. Forget that guy there on the couch. Wait till I show you a handful of long green lettuce.
Okay. Okay, but look out you don't palm none of it, you wisecracking slug.
I wouldn't do anything like that, Punchy. We're partners, aren't we? Made a deal and even split three ways. Of course. Stella ain't earned her share, and we could settle with her for less. A lot less.
Don't get that kind of idea with me, Rick.
You're the one that's got the idea, Punchy. I wouldn't have thought of it. Now that you put the notion in my head, it don't sound so bad. It doesn't. Hey, Punchy, look at the dough. Packs of nice, fresh dough right out of the mint. Payroll dough. Packs of ones. Fives, tens, and twenties. Easy spending dough, Punchy. There must be 50 grand in this set.
Leave it there, you slug.
Oh, listen to it make sweet music, Punchy. Listen.
Cut it out. Put that dough back. Quit smacking your chops over that stuff and do something to get me loose. I tell you, that Stell dame ain't coming back, Rick.
Yeah, Punchy. Maybe you're right. You're so sure of it, you're beginning to sell me. Beginning to give me an idea.
Get away from me with that knife, Rick.
Keep that rod in your shoulder holster, Punchy. You've used it once too many times today. Use it on me, you'll never get loose from that cashier.
No, I got a real notion you don't ever mean for me to get loose. You'd cross up your girlfriend, Stell. Why not
Put
me?
Put away that gun. Don't be nuts. I was only kidding.
Well, I ain't kidding, and I got a real idea.
What's the idea? What are you going to try?
I'm going to get this chain tied across the arm of this chair and shoot open one of the links.
I'll be a dope. It won't work.
Well, it's worth a try. What have I got to lose?
Don't fire that rod or shot in this dump. I'll bring the cops.
Well, then you think of a better idea. Quick.
Okay, give me that gun.
You slug. You dirty, rotten, double-crossing slug.
Shut up and sit down.
Give me back that rod.
Oh, Punchy, I'm going to give it to you right behind the ear. Okay. Take the clip out of this rod. Now sit there and sleep that off a while. Get something to stuff that dough in and get out of here. Ought to be something in this dump. Stop it at you.
No, and thanks for leaving this gun on the table.
Oh, yeah? You're welcome to that rod, big boy.
Stay right where you are. I don't carry a gun of my own, and I'd hate to have to use this one, even on you.
Don't let it cut your sleep, Sap. That rod's as empty as a stumblebump's pocket. Go ahead and pull the trigger.
Yes, so I see. You've removed the magazine clip.
Yeah. I got it right here in my pocket. I also got a knife. So let's have some conversation out of you. What's the grip? Who are you? Plain clothes, flat?
No, just a newspaper man who tries to help the police trap rats like you and your slumbering pal over there in the chair.
Ah, nosy newsy, huh? After a story for your lousy paper. They'll get a story when they find you carved up in this joint.
You're pretty sure of that knife of yours, aren't you?
Yeah. It's quicker and quieter than a gun. And I'm going to let you have a taste of it.
All right. Let's see how good you are with that knife.
Plenty good. How will you have it? Come and get it.
Thus, Steve faces a cunning and desperate killer armed with a knife. In a moment, we'll come to the exciting climax of tonight's story, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap. Friends, it truly is amazing, but doctors have proved it. Lifebuoy in your daily bath gets skin cleaner than any other leading soap can. Yes, after comparing the effects of daily baths with different soaps, the doctors made this amazing statement. Actually, you're cleaner, safer from BO when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy than when you bathe with any other leading soap. It's Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient that makes the difference. And remember, this purifying ingredient actually makes Lifebuoy milder, safe even for a baby's tender skin. So bathe daily with mild, refreshing Lifebuoy. Get some tomorrow, won't you? Now, back to Big Town and tonight's headline story of The Fatal Chain. A tip on a sensational payroll robbery resulting in a possible killing has led Steve Wilson to a hideout in the basement of an old house on the south side of Big Town, where he now faces a desperate man armed with a knife.
All right, big boy, what are you waiting for? Come and get your carving.
I'm in no hurry. I'm not going anywhere. In fact, I'll be perfectly satisfied to keep you here in this rat-hole hideout with your unconscious pal and your victim.
What are you pulling, fella? What's the idea of stripping off your coat?
I'm going to use this coat to keep you from using that knife on me.
Yeah?
Yes. And to take that knife away from you if you make a break for that door in the hall.
Don't worry, pal. I'm not breaking for anywhere without the dough in that payroll satchel.
Oh, yes. You've paid quite a price for that money, haven't you? You've shot a man. You've double-crossed your partner and sent your woman accomplice out into the streets where she'll be picked up by the police.
How'd you know there was a dame in this caper?
The streets of Big Town have 1,000 eyes. And as many tongues. And your whole play was a stupid long shot that'll get you the chair for that cashier over there on the couch. If he's dead.
Never mind that dopey cashier, and I don't care about the dame. I'm hauling out of here with that dough, and you and that coat wrapped around your arm ain't gonna stop me.
All right. Come on, get your lesson.
Wait a minute, boss. Leave me in on this, Henning.
Keep back, Harry. I think I know how to handle knife slingers.
Yeah, let's see if you do.
Yes. Now drop that knife. Open your fingers and drop that knife on the floor, or I'll have to break your arm. Drop it. Okay, he's up.
Beautiful, boss. Positively lovely, but watch him. He looks like a slippery slug.
Hold still, you rat. You're all washed up.
Not yet, pal.
Pardon me, boy. Wow. What do you know? I hardly clunked him. He wasn't nearly as tough as he thought he was.
They rarely are, Harry. Without a gun or a knife in their hands. But watch him while I see if there's anything we can do with that cashier there on the couch.
Holy moly. He don't look like he is in very good shape.
He isn't.
But someone has made a crude attempt to bandage his wound.
Maybe the dame was driving a car. I wonder where she is.
Well, she left here a few minutes ago. Lorelei's trailer.
Hey, mister.
Harry, this man is still alive. Get out of here and get a doctor. Phone for an ambulance.
On a double, boss. But how about this big ape in a chair and a slug on the floor? They are only temporarily incapacitated.
I think I can handle them until Callahan gets here. Get going, Harry.
Okay, I'll leave my trusty monkey wrench here in case you should need it. And look out, that dame don't come back.
I hope she does, Harry.
The money. The payroll.
Now, take it easy, fella. They didn't get the payroll, but they got you, and you lost a lot of blood.
I'm responsible for that money. They tricked me. They switched guards on me.
We know that. It wasn't your fault. Now, lie still and take it easy until we can get a doctor for you.
Who are you? What's happened to those men and the girl who tried to help me?
Well, I'm Steve Wilson of the Illustrated Press. Now, the police will be here in a few minutes, and an ambulance for you. So just lie still and take it easy.
The girl. Be careful of the girl. She's gone to get something to cut the chain. I pretended I was unconscious. I listened to them.
Don't worry. Just lie still. I'll take care of her if she comes back.
I am back. Who are you, mister?
Well, hello. I may be the person who can save you from the chair if you put down that toy revolver and use your head.
So that dopey cashier ain't dead.
No, thanks to you. So don't spoil your chances by using that gun.
Don't give me that. I'm mixed up in this, but good. I'll get a big stretch no matter what happens.
Perhaps not. If you'll drop that gun and turn state's evidence.
Don't kid me. I'm going to get my share of that dough.
Not
and
with
get
this
a...
gun, you don't. Take her, Steve. I'll get the gun off the floor.
That's nice going, Lorelei. I thought you'd be right behind her. Thanks. Hold still, miss. You've had your chance. Hold still.
Okay. All right, I'll play ball. I'll shoot the works. I'll tell the cops anything they want to know.
Sorry, miss. You had to make one more try to get your hands on that payroll. Now, it'll be up to the police and the judge and jury.
What about that poor cashier, Steve?
He's still alive, Lorelei. Harry's gone for a doctor. See if there's anything you can do for him, Lorelei.
Okay, Steve. Oh, that should be Callahan and his homicide boys.
Good. And as soon as they take over, get on the phone to City Desk, byline yourself a headline of this fatal chain of deadly circumstance.
So ended with the arrest and conviction of the ruthless payroll bandits and their treacherous woman accomplice, and the fortunate recovery of their victim, another exciting adventure in the newspaper career of Steve Wilson and Lorelei of the Big Town Illustrated Press. And now, before telling you of next week's Big Town drama, remember, your doctors have proved it. Lifebuoy Health Soap in your daily bath gets skin cleaner than any other leading soap can. Yes, you're cleaner, safer from B.O. when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy than when you bathe with any other leading soap. Ask for Lifebuoy tomorrow. Friends, maybe you've been one of the millions of people who've climbed aboard the Freedom Train this year during its travels throughout the country. If so, you were privileged to see some of the actual documents that symbolize our American heritage. Let's all remember these liberties, won so dearly, are ours to defend as well as to enjoy. Now, as always, freedom is everybody's job. Next week, the makers of Lifebuoy bring you a hard-hitting story entitled Death by Flam. The saga of an escaped convict's fantastic revenge. Another exciting assignment in the newspaper career of fighting Steve Wilson of Big Town. Don't miss it. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional, and any similarity to other names and places is purely coincidental. Big Town features Edward Pauley as Steve Wilson, Fran Carlin as Lorelei Kilborn, and was written and directed by Jerry McGill. And now, Big Town bids you good night until next Tuesday night, same time, same station, when you'll hear the newsboy calling.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. The story of Steve Wilson and death by plan, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, another fine Lever product. Extra, extra.
Extra.
New Rinso with sodium puts sunshine in your wash. Yes, rain or shine, new Rinso with sodium gives your wash an amazing new brilliance. You can dry your wash anywhere, and white clothes will turn out not just whiter, but actually whiter than new. And washable colors not just brighter, but even brighter than brand new. It's because new Rinso contains the scientific sunlight ingredient, sodium. New Rinso is so safe for clothes, so kind to hands. Find out for yourself how new Rinso with sodium puts sunshine in your wash. Only new Rinso contains sodium. Today, more women use Rinso than any other wash day soap in the world.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is the Man in Black, here again to introduce Columbia's program, Suspense. Our distinguished star this evening is that delightful gentleman, Mr. Roland Young, playing as author of detective novels, who invented his best plot when his life was at stake. With Mr. Young to play his long-suffering secretary is Miss Peggy Conklin. A story by John Dixon Carr, in a somewhat lighter mood than is our habit, and called The Customers Like Murder, is tonight's tale of suspense. If you've been with us on these Tuesday nights, you will know that suspense is compounded of mystery and suspicion and dangerous adventure. In this series are tales calculated to intrigue you, to stir your nerves, to offer you a precarious situation, and then withhold the solution until the last possible moment. And so with The Customers Like Murder and the performance of Roland Young, we again hope to keep you in suspense. On a hot summer night in a village on the east coast of England, a famous writer of detective stories is dictating to his secretary. You have all heard of Mr. Gerald Hawkstone, celebrated author of Murder on the Woolsack, Aconite at the Admiralty, Who Shot the Prime Minister, and other thrillers which have held us past the midnight hour. You have followed the exploits of Pendleton King, diplomat detective. Gerald Hawkstone lived quietly at Deal with his friend Dr. Roberts nearby in case he should need medical knowledge, and his pretty, if somewhat pert, Canadian secretary, Miss Patricia Phillips. Gerald Hawkstone would be a happy man, even in wartime, if
not. You got all that, Miss Phillips?
Yes, Mr. Hawkstone.
Good. New paragraph?
Yes, Mr. Hawkstone.
At the head of the great banqueting table, comma, the Lord Chief Justice staggered to his feet, full stop. His face was a ghastly whitish color, and his eyes had become glassy.
Is he drunk, Mr. Hawkstone?
No, Miss Phillips. The Lord Chief Justice is not drunk.
Sounds pretty cockeyed to me.
For your information, Miss Phillips, the Lord Chief Justice has just been poisoned with curare because he discovered the identity of the master criminal. Is that clear?
Yes, Mr. Hawkstone. But I wish you wouldn't do it.
Do what?
Well, in the last four books, Mr. Hawkstone, you have shot the Prime Minister, killed the Lord Chancellor with an axe, poisoned the Home Secretary, and blown up the First Lord of the Admiralty. Why don't you stop picking on the poor government and murder somebody else for a change?
The Lord Chancellor, Miss Phillips, was not murdered with an axe.
No, Mr. Hawkstone?
Definitely no. He was beamed with the Great Seal and found dead on the Woolsack. And there's another thing, Miss Phillips. Whether you talk like this because of a dense vacuum in what we will charitably call your mind...
Really, Mr. Hawkstone?
Or whether you are really making out what you might define as spot cracks, I don't know. But I don't want any more of it, do you hear?
Just as you please, Mr. Hawkstone.
I... Oh, Lord, where was I?
His face was a ghastly whitish color, and his eyes had become glassy.
Sounds like me. All right. A single choking cry escaped his lips, comma, and his body crumpled to the floor, full stop. New paragraph. With one swift stride, Pendleton King had reached the fallen man.
Mm-mm. He can't have done that, Mr. Hawkstone.
Who can't have done what?
Pendleton King.
What about him?
Well, on the last page, you had him sitting at the foot of the table. So he can't get there in one stride. Unless you want him to sail across the room like a kangaroo.
There are times, Miss Phillips, when I should like to poison you with curare and dance on your grave.
I was only trying to help.
All right, change it, change it. Strike it out. With hardly a second's delay, how's that? Comma. Pendleton King had reached the fallen man. Full stop. New paragraph. Quote. I feared it, comma. Close quote. He muttered. Full stop. Quote. Note the rigidity of the muscles. Exclamation point. Note the characteristic odor of curare, which...
That won't do, Mr. Hawkstone.
Why not?
Curare hasn't got any odor.
Now there, Miss Phillips, you've really gone too far.
But I can't help that. It's true.
If you will permit the small vanity, I am noted for the correctness of my medical knowledge. Who is murdering the Lord Chief Justice, you or I?
You are. But you might murder him properly. Curare hasn't got any odor.
I say it has.
And I say it hasn't.
Listen, Miss Phillips. I propose to settle this rather childish dispute by going next door and asking Dr. Roberts. Will that convince you?
Curare hasn't got any odor. Anyway, the Lord Chief Justice wouldn't be mixed up in any such silliness as this.
Silliness, eh?
Yes, I said silliness. Read your evening paper. The Lord Chief Justice is sentencing some American gangster who got involved in a robbery over here. That's the sort of thing he really does.
You're very fond of these gangster reports, aren't you?
Yes, I am, because they're real.
Real? Fah!
Don't you say fah to me.
Merely remarking, Miss Phillips, that with your usual ingenuity, you sidetracked the argument. I am going to see Dr. Roberts. That's not necessary, of course. My own knowledge of poisons is as great as that of any doctor.
Dr. Fah.
And finally, kindly don't say fah to me, either. When I return, Miss Phillips, I hope to find you in a better frame of mind. Please observe that I, at least, have been able to keep my temper. Excuse me.
All right. Go on. See if I care.
Excuse me, but...
Good evening, Mr. Hawkstone.
Good evening, Mrs. Roberts. May I come in?
Of course. Mind the blackout curtain. My, isn't it hot and stuffy tonight?
Rather close, yes. Is the doctor in?
I'm afraid he isn't, Mr. Hawkstone. But I expect him back any minute.
Oh, out on a call?
No, I'm almost certain he isn't. Because that's his medicine case and stethoscope there on the table. I think he's just gone up the road to get some tobacco.
Do you mind if I wait?
Not at all. But you will excuse me if I run along. I promised Mrs. Anderson I'd drop in there. It's her neuralgia again, and I'm terribly late already.
Don't let me detain you, Mrs. Roberts. Go right ahead.
I'm afraid you'll have to wait in George's consulting room. I've got most of the house dark, so I could keep the windows open. You know which room it is.
Yes. Yes, yes, I could find it blindfolded.
Oh, and I wonder if you'd take the medicine case and stethoscope and drop them in the consulting room. George is so careless, he lets them lie about anywhere.
Medicine case? Stethoscope, yes. As a matter of fact, I've always wanted to hang one of these things around my neck like this. Look almost like a doctor, don't I? Good night, Mrs. Roberts.
Good night, Mr. Hawkstone. See you later.
Oh, what I write is silliness, eh? And I don't know anything about poisons. And I call her Miss Phillips instead of Patricia. Ah, here we are. Now, where's that light switch? Good Lord.
Come on in, Doc. Close the door.
Who the deuce are you?
You want to keep healthy, Doc? Just do what you're told. Come in and close the door.
Is that by any chance a revolver you're pointing at me?
Ain't no cigarette case. I'm warning you.
Well, I'm hanged. I've done it 1,000 times in stories, but I never thought...
Don't drop that junk you're carrying, either. You're going to need it, Doc, when you come along with me.
Come along with you? Where?
Just to see a guy, that's all.
To see a... Oh, wait a minute. You don't think I'm the doctor.
Now, look, Doc. I ain't got any time for gags, see? The boss says to bring you, so I bring you. There'll be a very sick man out there if you don't go.
Yes, there'll be a very dead man out there if I do go. I tell you, old man, you're making a terrible mistake.
Now, look, Doc.
My name is Hawkstone. I live next door. I'm not a medical man, and I never...
Somebody's coming.
Philip.
Now then, Dr. Hawkstone,
Just look here in the encyclopedia.
So you like the doctor, huh?
That's done it.
Just a real old-fashioned kidder, ain't you? Now, you keep quiet, lady. You know it's good for you.
I know you. I've seen your picture. You're a big Louis Miller.
Pretty smart name
I'm
you
sure
got
that's
here,
him.
Doc.
Listen, Mr. Holmes.
Take it easy, Miss Lewis.
Big Louis Miller and Slats Kelly. Slats Kelly is the gang leader. Well, we're supposed to be friends of this gangster who's on trial in London now. But I hadn't heard they were in England.
No, lady. Neither has anybody else.
No, well, for it.
Who is this dame, Dr. Knight?
No, she's my secretary. She doesn't know anything about this.
She seems to know too much about it, if you ask me. Come on, lady. You're going with it.
Going? Where?
Just for a little ride, lady. Just for a little ride.
Far out from the village, in flat and miry swampland where pools of stagnant water gleam under the moon, stands the old Rutherford House. It is a desolate place, on the track of Field Marshal Goering's bombers when they cross the coastline. But there are no searchlights here, and no guns. Only the heat on the glimmering marshes and the decaying, weather-boarded house as a motor car approaches.
Drive straight ahead, Doc. Right around to the back of the house. Remember, I still got this rod against the back of your neck.
As a matter of fact, Louis, I'm rather enjoying this. All except the murder.
What murder? We ain't gonna bump anybody off.
Maybe not you, old boy, but I am. Just wait till I get at your patient.
I don't see how you can joke about this.
I'm not joking, Miss Phillips. If Louis won't tell us what's wrong with the patient...
Never you mind the patient, Doc. You just drive around here. Here, whoa.
So?
Right here.
Oh. So this is the enchanted castle, eh?
Climb out of here. Walk ahead of me over to that house.
Come on, Miss Phillips.
That's right, lady. You too. Come on. Hey, hold on, Doc. Grab a can of this cleaning fluid here. You can help me carry it in.
Cleaning fluid?
Yeah, there's two cans of it. If I can carry one, then I need my other half for this rod. Come on, come on. We ain't got all night. Get it out of the back seat.
Professionally, this is a little out of my line of duty. What do you want with the cleaning fluid?
The boss's suits get all messed up, so I clean them for him. I play nice maid and everything around here. Come on now, straight ahead. Stop asking questions.
You got this place blacked out, Louis. If the police don't get you, the air raid warden will.
Forget it, Doc. We got this place so sealed up, you can hardly breathe inside.
In here?
That's right, lady. Go ahead. I'll close the door.
I can't see, old boy. Which way?
Here. Set that can down and follow me. You too, lady. Ah, right here, where the curtain's hanging over the door. Now, I want you to meet the boss. So I open the curtain like this.
Howdy-da, come right in. Glad to see you. I've been expecting you.
Glad to see you, old man. I imagine you're the celebrated Mr. Kelly.
That's me, Doc. Flats Kelly to you. Glad to see you taking this nice and friendly.
Louis, what's the idea of bringing in the dame?
I couldn't help it, boy.
Oh?
She says nice, see? She was with him, and she knew who I was.
She did, eh?
I don't know anything. All I want to do is to go home.
Ah, that's all right, sister. You'll go home all nice and friendly. As soon as I've had a little talk with the doctor.
A talk about what?
Well, we're not what you might call comfortable here, Doc. Well, we've got flashlights, canned food, plenty of liquor, portable radio that works on a battery. So we managed to get along. You know what I mean?
I said to talk about what?
Well, that's it. That's what I'm going to tell you. We pulled a snatch, see?
You pulled a snatch?
He means they kidnapped somebody.
That's right, sister. You speak English.
May I ask who was snatched?
Well, I'll tell you, Doc, because it'll have you a big laugh. The guy we snatched was the big chap you call the Lord Chief Justice.
You snatched? The Lord Chief Justice?
We sure did, Doc, and his clerk, too. They're in the room right over there.
Such a trap, Louis.
I didn't mean nothing, boys. I was only trying...
Did you hear me say such a trap?
Okay.
But look here, what was the idea behind this snatch?
Well, I'll tell you, Doc. We got a pal, see?
Well?
Dominic Ferrelli, his name is. He's up on a grand larceny rap, and Ferrelli don't like slimy jails. He don't like them at all. Besides, the dirty little rat owes me 14 G's, so what do we do?
Snatched the Lord Chief Justice, apparently, but why?
Because the mouthpiece back home tells me long ago that a man can't be sentenced except for the judge that tried him.
And the Lord Chief Justice is the judge who tried Dominic Ferrelli, is that it?
That's right, Doc.
But it ain't the main thing. This Chief Justice is a pretty important guy, see? So what do? We write to the cops and say, now look, we got the old bird in a place where you'll never find him, and if you want to keep things nice and friendly, just spring Dominic Ferrelli.
Bring him?
Turn him loose.
Sure. Bring Ferrelli and you'll get the old judge back in one piece. If you don't do it, you'll get him back with his head as full of holes as a Swiss cheese. And we're not kidding.
This is horrible. I can't stand it.
Take it easy, sister. Take it easy.
You know, Slat, I admire you tremendously.
You do, Doc. Why?
Because you've invented a crazier idea than I ever did.
Just what do you mean by that track, Doc?
You don't honestly think the government will make a bargain with you.
I sort of think they will, Doc. I sort of think they will.
But what if they don't?
And it'll be just too bad for a lot of people. You know what I mean?
Well, wouldn't I like to give that judge a going over?
Louis got a sort of a grudge against the old guy, Doc.
Well, wouldn't you have?
Louis's temperamental, see? He gets bored easy. So he says to the old guy and his clerk, he says, can you play poker? Just says, sure. So they play poker from 6 p.m. to 5 a.m. And what do you know? If the old judge don't win all Louis' dough.
They rung in a cold back on me. That's how they done it. They're a couple of crooks.
Are you accusing the Lord Chief Justice of playing poker with marked cards?
He won my dough, didn't he?
Shut up, Louis.
Okay, boy.
Not that I blame Louis much. The things I've had to take from that judge. Well, that's where you come in, Doc.
I was just wondering about that. Which one of them is...
Hurt? Nobody hurt. Not yet.
Then what the devil do you want with me?
I want them kept quiet so they don't keep trying to escape. We can't get tough with them, not until I get Ferrelli and my 14 Gs. And I want you to give them a hypodermic or something that'll keep them out cold for 2 days. Can you do that?
Why, yes, I don't know. I suppose I could.
Oh, no, for heaven's sake, be careful.
Now, what do you use to dope them?
Well, under the circumstances and, considering all the factors involved, I think I should use morphine.
Well, have you got any morphine in that black satchel?
Oh, yes. Plenty of morphine. I always go about equipped for these little emergencies.
Well, then open the satchel. Come on, open it.
Well, there you are.
Dozens of little bottles, anyway. Now then, Doc, which one of them bottles is the one that has the morphine in it?
The fact is, Slats,
Come on, which one is it?
Listen, boss.
Louis, how many times do I have to tell you to shut up?
Yeah, but it's the midnight news. The news on the radio. You said you wanted to hear it. It's after midnight now.
Why didn't you tell me?
It's all right, boss. I switched the radio on.
Well, then keep quiet, all of you. A couple of seconds now, you're going to hear some mighty sweet news.
I wonder.
So do I.
Quiet.
Hey, that's us, ain't it?
The kidnappers, stated Superintendent Hadley of the CID, seem to entertain a belief that no sentence can be passed on a criminal except by the judge who tried him. Whatever may be the law in certain American states, this is not the case here. Dominic Ferrelli, alias Dominic Stevens, was today sentenced by Mr. Justice Stoneman to 14 years hard labor and this evening at a Dartmoor prison.
Why, that's... One moment, please. Don't cross a lawyer,
too. Take it easy, boy. Take it easy.
Kelly, he's as white as a ghost and his mouth is twisting back as though...
Here is a bulletin just received. Scotland Yard flying squad cars, assisted by the constabulary of a county which for obvious reasons cannot be named, are closing in on the two kidnappers believed to be men already wanted in the United States for murder.
That's us.
Will anyone who has any further information about these men, whose descriptions follow, communicate with New Scotland Yard, telephone number Whitehall 1212...
Wait till I get my hands on it!
That's all right, boss. Everything's all right now. I turned it off.
Can't do more than turn it off, Louis. I'll fix that thing.
Hey, what are you going to do, boss? Hey, don't bust the radio! Hey! Oh, you hadn't on the bus or the radio, boss. Now we can't get any news.
We've had our news, Avery. Come on, put that light out. I want to look out the window.
Oh, they're
closing
in.
Yes. Tricia, you see, I can call you that.
Why couldn't you have called me that weeks ago?
Oh, well, putting that aside, I thought it was half a joke. But I'm not joking now. I intend to get that rat-faced slap if it's the last thing I ever do.
It probably will be. But how are you going to?
First, Pendleton King, my dear. He's
Ferrelli,
got out of worse scrapes than this.
$14,000 gone! And the cops on our tail while we stand here yapping. You heard what that radio said, Louis.
Yeah, I heard it, all right. Look, boss, we better lamb out of here while
it's
time.
Sure we will, Louis. Before we go, we settle things with the old guy in the other room.
You can't get away with it, Louis. This is England. They'll hang you.
So what? We got a murder rap facing the States, ain't we? And I just as soon hang as fry? What about you, Louis?
You said it, boss. Let me take this rod of mine, stick it against the back of the old guy's neck and...
No. No rod. That's too easy.
Easy? Sure. One slug and it's all over. This guy rates special treatment. And that's where the doctor comes in. You know anything about poisons, Doc?
I know a good deal about poisons. The customers like murder.
What's that?
Oh, nothing. Just a slogan in my profession.
Look, Louis, do you remember the time Johnny Presco was running the old Third Avenue Social Club?
Yeah.
And Mike Delaney talks out of turn? And they feed him some white stuff called strychnine?
Oh, yeah.
And sit around and light cigarettes and watch him die. It took 4 hours, Doc, and you could hear the rats screaming as far as 81st Street.
Now, wait a minute. That's you, Carl.
I can't, huh? We'll see. You got any of that white stuff, Doc?
Well,
You've got something in that bag that'll make the old guy squeal now, haven't you?
Why, yes, I suppose I have, but...
Listen, get this sure. You can do it the hard way, Doc, or you can do it the easy way. Louis gets to work on you. Maybe you'd be smarter to hand the stuff over right now. What do you say?
Listen. What's the matter, Fett? Trouble by the heat? It is hot in here with all the windows sealed up.
That sounds like planes.
It is planes.
British planes going over to put the heat on Germany?
No such luck, old boy. German planes coming to bomb us. About
a dozen Heinkels flying 20,000 feet up.
Mm-hmm. Very keen ear, Miss Phillips. Say, I'd say not over 15. That's the first wave, Seth. There'll be another wave in a minute or two. But you needn't be alarmed. They're going somewhere else. They only...
Jack! Louis, Jack! The way I heard you force them under the table already.
Only a little visiting card, Seth, and fully a quarter of a mile away.
Put out that light, Louis, and pull that curtain back off the window.
Yeah, but what's that?
See what you can see.
Okay.
Do what I tell you, big luck.
All right, They can't see a thing. The sky is as black as pitch. Oh, look over there.
Well, what is it?
It's a light, boy. Funny kind of a white light. Up there over the trees. Not very steady. It starts and then dims, and then it starts and dims.
Only a basket of incendiary bombs, Louis.
Incendiaries, eh?
What is it, Jerry? You got an idea?
Louis, this is just what we've been waiting for. Those Scotland Yard cars are going to get held up until we can settle things with those guys in the other room. Come along with me.
Why don't you two lugs get smart?
Jerry.
What's that?
You don't want to have your neck cracked on a rope, do you? Or burn in the electric chair back home?
What are you getting at?
Why not take advice from somebody who's been killing people in a professional way for 15 years?
I'm not in the mood for gags, Doc, but keep on talking.
This Lord Chief Justice and his clerk, what do they look like?
Well, the judge is a little guy with a bald head, like me. And the other one is a big guy with a punch-drunk pan, like Louis. Why?
I thought so. I've seen that photograph. When the next wave of planes comes over, and it will, why shouldn't an incendiary bomb hit this house?
You mean you think it ain't too safe, sir?
Be quiet, Louis. Go ahead, Doc.
In other words, you leave the Lord Chief Justice and his clerk tied up in the other room. Then all you have to do is to set fire to the place. Justice cheated, Medlington gangsters die and blaze.
Jerry Hawkstone, have you gone crazy?
They may catch you eventually, yes. But it'll give you a few days' start.
Hey, maybe you got something there, Doc.
It's got to look good. This house must go up like a piece of paper in a furnace, past any possibility of being put out.
Yeah, and that's the catch.
Why so?
Well, this house is in the middle of a swamp, see? It's as damp as your own climate. You couldn't make it burn with a blowtorch.
Oh, yes, you could. Aren't you forgetting the cleaning fluid?
Cleaning fluid?
In that other room, you've got 2 gallons of cleaning fluid. That's benzene, a derivative of petrol. Soak every inch of the floor of that room with it, every inch of it, mind, and the place will go up like tinder.
Well, it's worth a try, Louis. Turn on your flashlight.
Okay, boss.
And, what about you too, Doc? Afterwards?
We're accessories, aren't we? Are we likely to talk?
Better put a couple of slugs in them, boss, and drop them on the road. What's one or two more bumps in a spot like this?
Maybe you're right at that. Well, anyway, Doc, thanks for a swell idea. You heard what the doc said, Louis. Get going with that cleaning stuff.
Both of you had better do it. I'm warning you.
Oh, why?
Hear that? Because there isn't much time. Here they come. You can't have a fire start after the last wave of planes has gone over.
Well, maybe you got something there, too. But I'll just take a little precaution first.
What are you going to do?
These are handcuffs, sister. Two of the neatest pair of cuffs we ever swiped off a dumb cop. Just lock your arms around the back of the chair, like this. And the doc's arms around the back of his chair, like this. And we'll get going. Come on, Louis, through the curtain.
Okay, I'm coming, boys. Bye-bye, Mr. Hawkstone, on your lighty front. Be seeing you in the funny papers or in the morgue.
Be long now. They must have everything in there soaked with that benzene by now. Jerry, I know you can't be completely crazy.
Many thanks, my dear, for the qualification. You're right. They have soaked the place with benzene. And if they strike a match before...
I know you've got some kind of a scheme, but do you think it'll work?
I don't know, my dear. I thought of it once for a story.
Oh, you and your story.
Me and my stories, as Louis will put it, may save our hides yet.
But suppose it doesn't work.
Then we're done for.
What are you trying to do?
There's a place to mess for.
Listen, Fisher. It's not working. But it's got to work.
What's got to work?
5 minutes. At least that. They've been pulling out that benzene an inch at a time all over the...
What's that? What's the matter?
Listen.
What's the matter, you big lad? Stand up.
It's working, Patricia. I think our friends are licked.
No. No, they're not. Slaps is coming back.
What the trick are you trying to pull, Doc? What's the matter with Louis? What's the matter with me?
You've lost the game, Slaps. You're finished.
Oh, I'm finished, am I?
It's the benzene fumes, old man. To pour out a lot of cleaning fluid in an airtight room like that one is practically certain death. You know, Slaps, you ought to learn more about crime. No, you won't, Fett. You can't reach your gun. The fumes have got you. You can't move your arms or legs. Your eyesight's going. In 1 second more, you'll be... Got him. Dead to the world.
You mean...
It worked, Patricia. It's practical. It worked.
Are you trying to tell me that you killed those two men?
Not necessarily. Listen.
That sounds like cars.
Probably police cars. We're just about to be sensationally rescued, just like fiction.
Jerry.
Come on out of there.
Come on in and get us, you lug.
Don't talk like Louis or we'll get a bullet through the head yet.
Yeah, that is a thought.
We're prisoners. We're victims. This way, please. It's a sergeant, and I was never so glad to see a uniform in my life.
Here now. What's going on in this place? Louis Miller knocked out in that room? And blimey if it's not Slats Kelly knocked out in this room.
Just a couple of mugs I polished off, Sergeant, all in the day's work.
You mean they're dead?
They'll be all right if you drag them out in the open air.
Oh, you, I recognize you. You're the rider who was kidnapped tonight.
Yes, and you will find the other snatches in that room. But first of all, have you got a key that'll unlock regulation police handcuffs?
I certainly have, sir, and I'll get you loose in a jiffy.
Never mind me, Sergeant. Never mind my handcuffs. Get this lady free. She's the one I'm concerned about.
You know, that's awfully kind of you. It's something practically chivalrous.
Chivalry, my eye.
There you are, young lady.
Have you got your notebook and pencil in that handbag?
You don't want me to take dictation now.
A true artist, madam, takes no account of time or place. Are you ready?
Yes, Mr. Hawkstone.
Well, you admit now that my plot is practical.
Yes, Mr. Hawkstone.
Now then, The Income Tax Murder by Gerald Hawkstone, Chapter 1.
But Mr. Hawkstone...
Just as Big Ben was striking midnight, a hooded face looked into the window of the luxurious study occupied by the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Full stop. The hooded figure chuckled as it softly lowered inside the window a large tin of cleaning fluid. New paragraph. The Chancellor himself was hard at work devising a new scale of income tax.
But Mr. Hawkstone, that's a completely different story. I thought you were going to murder the Lord Chief Justice.
Haven't you any professional taste? How can I murder the Lord Chief Justice? I just saved his life.
So ends The Customers Like Murder, starring Roland Young with Peggy Conkland. Tonight's tale of suspense. This is your narrator, the man in black, who conveys to you Columbia's invitation to spend this half hour in suspense with us again next Tuesday, same time, when our story will be The Dead Sleep Lightly. William Spear, the producer, John Dietz, the director, Bernard Herrmann, the composer, conductor, and John Dixon Carr, the author, collaborated on tonight's Suspense.